Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, please help us to see not only what Paul was saying to Timothy, but also what you are saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I've put Father Paul in asterisks because we've been, because we've been told not to call other people Father except our Father in heaven. But Paul refers to himself as the father of people, as we'll realise as we go through. And if you've got that 2 Timothy letter in front of you, and not the 1 Timothy letter, like I started looking at, you'll see that Paul demonstrates his care. As we read the first couple of verses, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, the apostle Paul had first met Timothy in Lystra, a town in modern-day Turkey, and that town was about 400 kilometres east of the major port city of Ephesus, and that's where Timothy was at the time that the letter was sent to him. And both places are in modern-day Turkey, although Ephesus is now something like 16 kilometres from the sea. Young Timothy was a new Christian when he first joined Paul. Paul had been sent as an apostle to the people beyond the Holy Land. He'd been given the task of putting the good news of the promise of eternal life through trusting in Jesus into words that could be understood by non-Jews. And also he was given the task of spreading that word. As Paul travelled from town to town with his young companion Timothy, he was preaching and teaching the gospel. And Timothy had learned a lot about the way that Christ Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies of God's promised Messiah and Saviour of God's people. He learnt well because Paul had dispatched Timothy to some towns to strengthen their infant churches. For instance, at one stage, Paul was in one place and he sent Timothy off to the Corinthian church. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. For this reason I am sending you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church." So Paul considered himself to be the father of all who he had led to Jesus. As their father, he looked out for them, fed them with God's word, and he was concerned to see that they grew up in their faith in Jesus. As a famous person has said earlier on, it's a privilege to have children, and with the privilege comes a responsibility. And we see that in the way that Paul deals with Timothy. His care is shown also in his greeting of grace, mercy and peace. He's asking God to have grace on Timothy, a person of no inherent worth in this world. He's asking him to have mercy on Timothy because Timothy by himself was helpless to save himself. And he asks God to grant peace to Timothy, who without Jesus would have been restless. He wouldn't have had peace in his heart until his life had been restored to be in harmony with God when he took Jesus to be his Saviour. We read in verse 3 the prayer that Paul had for Timothy. "I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers." How often did he remember him? often, at least twice a day, night and day. Yeah, this is a great testimony to how a Christian father is always committing his children to the loving care of God. Fathers are to show their concern not only in the love they exhibit towards their children here, but also in bringing their concerns about them and their thanks for the good things they see in them to God in prayer. And then we see the father's joy in verse 4, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Paul remembers the tears that flowed from Timothy when they last parted, but he longs for a last chance to see Timothy again. And that would have been an event that would have brought much joy to Paul, who at that stage was chained and in a dungeon. Now, during the Olympic coverage on TV, from time to time we saw tears of joy in the parents of the medal winners. The thought of the new life in Christ which Timothy now experienced would have brought more joy to Paul than the joy of any medal winner's parent. Timothy had more than a crowd's adulation. He had eternal life. And that would have brought tremendous joy to Paul. And then we see the faith, the advantages of having a family of faith. Grandma Lois and Mother Eunice were Jews who had become Christians when they put their faith in Jesus, the Messiah and Saviour that God had promised to send many centuries earlier. They'd taught Timothy when he was younger about God from the Old Testament. They'd witnessed to him in the lives that they were living. Their obvious faith gave Timothy a great start as he searched for the meaning of life. Now, we parents and grandparents can take great heart from this example. As we show younger family members that we trust God's promises and entrust our lives to Jesus as both our Lord and our Saviour, they do see the effects upon us. Among other things, they see our ability to cope better under stress, our comparative calmness when things are going wrong all around us, because we know that life for a Christian is not meant to be easy. That means that we're not surprised when bad stuff happens. God helps us to cope. And that Christian upbringing is a great blessing for anybody. Now, I shudder when I think of some of the values taught by non-Christian parents. Non-Christian parents, we're told by God, are inherently selfish. And these selfish values come down to the kids. Now, they might not appear overtly selfish to us, but really they are. And it's no wonder that their children make poor decisions in life, and some of them are quite mixed up. But there's a warning to Christian families, and that is that we cannot turn our children or grandchildren into Christians. As we learnt in Just Start Talking, we have a responsibility to talk about Jesus, to share the good news with them, but it's the Holy Spirit that convicts the hearers of their need to repent and believe. We have a responsibility to tell them about Jesus and to pray for them, but it's the Holy Spirit that will convict them. Now, there are hints in a number of places in the New Testament that Timothy was a rather quiet young man, not pushy by nature, that he suffered bouts of ill health. He had a problem. In their culture, age was thought to bring wisdom and respect was given to older teachers. Now, I know of at least one person in our congregation that was a bit astounded when they realised that Tim was going to be our new senior minister. It's the first time they'd had a senior minister younger than them. And, you know, they're a bit hesitant about the whole thing. And so you could imagine what it was like when Timothy got up. He didn't have that natural ability to command attention to what he had to say. And this posed a big problem. With Paul in a dungeon in Rome and expecting to be executed in the near future, Paul was about to commit to Timothy the oversight of the churches and their teaching. Now, this was a responsibility that God had given to Paul, and now it was time for Paul to hand it on. Timothy had the knowledge of the scriptures, the understanding of the gospel that had been passed down by Paul. He had an association with many of the churches because he'd gone around with Paul, but he didn't have Paul's age. He didn't have Paul's training because Paul had gone to university virtually on the Old Testament scriptures. He didn't have Paul's reputation. He didn't have Paul's experience. And nowhere are we told that Timothy had received a vision of Jesus like the one that Paul had received on the road to Damascus. Let's read those last two verses. Three, actually. Paul says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Now, we know that the body of church elders had laid hands on Timothy when he was commissioned or ordained, if you like, to pastor and teach the church in Ephesus. And we presume that when Paul's hands were laid on him, that it would have been at a time when he was praying for God to give him the strength to do the task. Now, we know that God provides his Holy Spirit to give us strength for the tasks to which he calls us. As Paul and the elders had believed that God was calling Timothy to do God's work, then Paul was confident that God would provide all the strength that Timothy could need. The Holy Spirit would allow Timothy to overcome his timidity and to speak with power and authority, so that the hearers would pay attention to what Timothy had to say. The Holy Spirit would give Timothy the love necessary to serve the churches humbly, not trying to big note himself, but dealing compassionately with difficult church members who are not easy to get on with. There's a problem with being made a leader of a church, and that is that lots of people look up to you, and it's very easy to start feeling proud about it and sort of puffed up. But God gives us the grace, thankfully, to be humble about it. Now, when Bishop Rick came here a few weeks ago, you might have got the impression that he wasn't a great big lordy type person that would get around in purple dressing gown thing to show everybody that he's the bishop. He was a servant of Jesus who was called to do the task by faithful men. He's empowered by the Holy Spirit, and all he wants to do is serve, to serve the parishes, to serve the Christians in this diocese. And we just pray that he keep that humility. The Holy Spirit would also give Timothy the strength to control himself, so that he would set an example for the believers in the way he spoke, in the way he lived, in the way he demonstrated Christ's love for others. As people saw him growing in experience and faith, and all the time living a pure life, that doesn't come easily to any of us, but the Holy Spirit can do that for us. The Holy Spirit was available, but Timothy needed to pray for the strength he needed and to have the faith to step out, confident that the Holy Spirit would act with him. Now, God's given all of us unique skills and has particular tasks for each of us to carry out for him. Some people are great cooks. They provide us with morning tea. Some people, God has provided them with the basis of how to play musical instruments, and they've worked on that, and they help us to worship God in song. Some people are quite organised and they can look after office work. Some people are real good at looking after kids and teaching them. They're out there now with Sunday school. We've all got something to do so that this big church here can function more effectively in spreading the gospel for God. Now, a lot of us aren't aware of the gifts that God's given us or the skills, but he'll give us the strength to do the work. Now, God is the same yesterday, today and forever. He keeps his promises. As we step out in faith to do the good works that God has prepared for us to do, we can be sure that the Holy Spirit will give us the ability to do those good works to the standard that God wants. We're not called to work in our own strength. We're called to be channels through which God can work. We may feel pride in things that we achieve in our own strength, but the things that we achieve in God's strength bring glory and praise to God. Immediately from the people that do the work, because they realise that they couldn't do it without the Holy Spirit strengthening them, and ultimately by the people round about as they see these jobs being done. Now, we may feel pride in the things we achieve in our own strength, but not the things that we do when God helps us. Now, if we have the faith, God will give us the power to achieve great things in his name. Now, many of us try to do things in our own energy, but we don't ask for God's help, and then our results are very limited. That's a bit like asking friends to come to church. If we worked in our own strength, we'd never ask them. But with the Holy Spirit behind us, we can gain the confidence to do it. How do we fan the flame of our faith? We pray for God's help. We step out in faith that God will provide. Stepping out means that we have to commence carefully, but not hesitantly. We step out. In Timothy's case, Timothy stepped out by travelling around with Paul for many years. He stepped out a bit further when Timothy sent him on difficult errands to distant churches, and the Holy Spirit helped Timothy to do that. Timothy was then put in charge of the church in Ephesus, and he had the Holy Spirit to help him there. And under God's guidance, Paul had bigger things in mind for Timothy, and Paul has the faith that the Holy Spirit will help Timothy in these bigger tasks as well. As you experience the strength of the Holy Spirit in small ventures, like praying for people and asking them to come to church, you'll soon have the faith to take on bigger tasks for Jesus. And you'll get more rewards out of it. It's a tremendous blessing to do things for God and to see the changes that happen. We get the blessing. We get a bigger blessing out of preparing sermons that you do in listening. It's a great privilege to us, and we hope that as you listen that you'll be aware of the joy of working for God in the strength that his Spirit provides. Let's just close now with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do have good things in mind for us to do. Some of them may be quite small, but we know that if we do those well, that you'll have bigger things for us to do. We thank you also, Lord, that as you give us the task, you give us the power of your Holy Spirit. So help us, Lord, not to leave your Holy Spirit just like a little pilot light burning and not achieving anything, but help us, Lord, to step out to do the tasks that you have for us, so that your Holy Spirit can then really get to work in our lives and empower us to do the big things, the difficult things, that you want us to do, so that you can demonstrate to us your greatness as you work through us. And we pray this in Jesus' special name. Amen.